I'm going to start with the website Gizmodo. The U.S. drought situation is getting increasingly desperate. Then after that, I'm going to go to the Hoover Dam. Yes, you have it correct. You got it right.
Mike. Learn from the captives and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause some churches never teach them. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a jeopardy. Yeah, that means you take a loss and you spray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it's say what it say. Ya viene el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos y israelitas, oye cómo explica, Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, history is the word, it's the power hour. The learning hour. Tune in to your history, learning your history. Power hour. The learning hour.
Hey, shalom, shalom, shalom. Most High in Christ, bless Israel. Happy Sabbath, happy Sabbath. Welcome back to the Power Hour. I'm Officer Zara.
Soldier Raphael.
Soldier Zarisha.
All praise to the Most High. Yeah, we were supposed to have Officer Issachar today, but, you know, he had a baby, so all praise to the Most High. You know, he had a daughter, so all praise is his first child. All praise to the Most High. The title of this topic right here that we're going to do today is preparation for the famine. Preparation for the famine, right? And so we have a lot of articles, a lot of videos, you know, just to prep Israel, you know, for what's to come, you know, the famine that's to come. And so we have, you know, the Most High has been warning us pretty much on what's going to happen in the last days. You know, get Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And so we already been knowing that thing, you know, if you've been in the truth for a while, you know that things are supposed to happen. So a lot of times, you know, I know in the beginning, you know, especially like with COVID, right? You know, we saw all the people hoarding the tissue, right? Buying up all the water, right? And so we went through that, right? And some people didn't have tissue. Some people didn't have water. But, you know, we ignorantly looked past that because, wow, we have water and tissue now, right? We think everything's back to normal, right? But the Most High had told us what's going to happen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3.
This is the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world.
So the disciples were wanting to know, what are the signs for so we can prepare when, you know, when you come back Christ, right? Jump to verse 7.
Verse 7. For nation shall arise against nation, mm-hmm. and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, mm-hmm. and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places.
Mm-hmm.
All these are the beginning of sorrows.
So it says, and there shall be famines and pestilence, right? And so we already have that right now, right? We have the mosquito, whatever it was, right? Then we have a famine that's going on that a lot of people not really actually paying attention to.
That's right.
In the world, right? And in verse 8, it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows, right? So this is the beginning. This is just the beginning steps to what's supposed to happen. You know, it's going to get worse, right? And so we have to prepare our minds for it, right? Give me Sirach chapter 39, verse 28. Sirach chapter 39, verse 28. Let's see what's up with this famine. You know, what it's all about.
This is the book of Sirach, chapter 39 and verse 28. There be spirits that are created for vengeance.
It says there be what?
There be spirits that are created for vengeance.
There be spirits that are created for vengeance. So the Most High has created spirits just for vengeance, right? Just so he can have vengeance on the other nations, right? On even our people, right? Those that didn't keep God's commandments. Read.
Which in their fury lay on sore strokes.
Mm-hmm.
In the time of destruction, they pour out their force.
So when these spirits created for vengeance, when it's time for destruction, they're going to pour out that full force, right? They're going to go all in, right, Reed?
And appease the wrath of him that made them.
Appease the wrath of him that made him, right? And so you already know that when the Most High is angry, getting mad, it ain't no escaping it. It's going down, right, Reed?
Fire and hail.
Hey, because you got to remember, too, the Most High is, scripture say he's a terrible guy, right? You know,
that's right.
So ain't no telling, you know, he thinks things that we can't even fathom what he'll do to certain people, right? Reed?
Fire and hail, famine and death. All these are created for vengeance.
So famine and death, fire and hail, are spirits that were created for vengeance. Reed?
Teeth of wild beasts,
mm-hmm,
and scorpions,
mm-hmm,
serpents, and the sword. Punishing the wicked to destruction. They shall rejoice in his commandment, and they shall be ready upon the earth when need is.
So whenever they need it, hey, they're going to be there, right? Famine, hail, death, fire, they're going to be there for the Most High's destruction, right?
And when their time is come, they shall not transgress his word.
So they're not going to transgress his word, right? So if I say, if he wants somebody killed that day, that fire, whatever it is going to be coming for them. They can't escape it, right?
Right.
And so it is what it is, right? So the famine is one of the spirits that was created for vengeance of the Most High, right?
Hey, Osazara.
Yes, sir.
That's like during the time of Egypt, like how all those different plagues that was created to destroy the Egyptians.
Exactly. 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 You're right. That's true. And so, you know, leadership that have been teaching about the winter is coming. You know, they've been teaching that for the past year or two, right?
Sure.
Prepare for the famine, right? And so a lot of times, you know, a lot of us, we didn't really take it seriously, right? Some of us just bought, like, you know, a few packs of water, a few packs of 40 bottles of water and think we straight. That's good. But reality, it's not, right? And so we're going to bring in more about that, right? So pull up that first article with Gizmodo.com. All right, so can you read that for me?
Yes, sir.
One of you.
Okay. All right, the U.S. drought situation is getting increasingly desperate. There is not enough water to grow crops. Colorado is trying to control the weather. Rule-breaking Californians are having their taps turned out.
Right, so there's a big drought that's going on in the world today, right? And so right now, you know, in America, you know, a lot of people haven't dealt with this. A lot of Americans haven't dealt with this, you know, having to limit their water usage or even having their water turn off, right? But if you think about it, a lot of Northern Kingdom, like in Central and South America and those places like that, they actually been through this where they have the water turned off or electricity turned off. So they know how to work around that. They have a means of living, right? But in reality, Americans here, they haven't been through things like this, right?
Right.
So go ahead.
The ramifications of the historic mega drought happening in the U.S. right now are getting increasingly serious. Hydropower is faltering. Farmland is too parched to produce. And millions of people are currently under water restrictions. It is a drought so big that it has eclipsed 1,200 years of climate history. Human-caused climate change in the least partially is at least partially responsible. Fields lay fallow. California is the U.S. produce aisle. The state grows more than a third of the country's domestically harvested vegetables and two-thirds of our fruit and nuts.
So that produce is just from California alone, right? Go ahead.
But feeding the nation requires a lot of water. Agriculture eats up about four times as much water in the state as urban water usage.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, farmers are struggling to meet their needs with what's available.
So a lot of times, these farmers that's in California are struggling, mm-hmm, to have produce their produce, right? They have lack of water because there's a drought going on, especially over here in the Southwest America, right? You have like California, Arizona, Utah, New Mexico, all these, and Colorado, all of them, I think even Oregon as well. They're all connected to Lake Mead. What's the
Colorado
other
River?
Colorado River, right? And all those bodies of water are actually going down, right? And so you think about all these people, all these states that are dependent on this water. If the water goes out, then all the produce from California, like we just read, it supplies them a lot of the country, right?
Right.
So all that's going to go down, and so people are not actually prepared for this, right?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Because it's not going to just affect the region, but nationwide.
Yeah, yeah. Even countries outside of America itself, right? It's going to affect them as well, right?
Because of water shortages, hundreds of thousands of acres are sitting stagnant without any crops growing. An estimated 400,000 acres of cropland were ideal because of lack of water last year.
Were idle
because of lack of water last year, to one analyst from the University of California and other groups published in February. And things have continued to get worse. One farmer told the BBC that he was foregoing tomato planting this year because there just wasn't enough for irrigation.
Scroll down. Go ahead, read that one, that part.
Water agency starts choking taps. In an effort to help the water supply last as long as possible, both local and state agencies in California are asking people to limit their water use. Outdoor watering has been banned or heavily moderated in many regions, and those who fail to comply with the new water restrictions are encountering actual consequences from financial penalties to choked taps. If people wantonly water their lawns, flower beds, and even sidewalks, they face fines of up to $600.
Hey, go scroll down. You got some? Oh, okay, I thought you were about to say something. Go ahead. Go down. Read this one.
Topic, okay. Colorado cloud seeding. Outside of California, things have gotten even weirder. If a proposed ocean to great salt...
Wait, drop that. Scroll down a little bit more. Read this one.
Beyond the western U.S. Outside of the west, other U.S. states are also facing growing drought. For instance, almost three-quarters of Massachusetts is drier than normal, and a big patch of the state is in moderate drought. Water shortages in Hawaii are being exacerbated by a lack of rainfall, and although nowhere near as intense as the Southwest drought, swaths of the Southeast are experiencing drought too.
Mm-hmm.
Across the border in Mexico, dry conditions are leading to water restrictions as well. The state of Nuevo León has limited residents' watering access to a six-hour daily window of time.
Hey, there's an article that I have on this too. Go to the tabs for me real quick. Go to the next window. Let me see. It was about Mexico. Yeah. Read this one. This is June 3rd, 2022. This is 22 days ago, all right? So this is limiting on a six-hour water drought that we were just talking about, right?
So Mexican City limits daily water access to 6 hours amid drought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Monterrey, Mexico, June 3rd. A Mexican city in the border state of Nuevo León is limiting daily water access to residents to just a six-hour window in response to a historic drought in the region, authorities said on Friday. The city of Monterrey, a major business hub whose metropolitan area is home to 5.3 million, will allow water use from 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. daily.
So these people, 5.3 million people in one big city, are only limited to using water from 4 a.m. to 10 a.m., right? So they'll only be able to shower, you know, do whatever they need in that time slot, right? Just think about how that affects you, right? You can't wash your clothes. You probably can't wash dishes unless you just save the water for later on. So there's restrictions that, you know, that's going to affect these people's daily lives, right? And so this is going to happen probably in America, right?
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
And we import food from Mexico, too. Mm-hmm. What is it, avocados, tomatoes, bell peppers.
Bananas, I think, too. And it's crazy too, because there's actually been reports too. There's cities north of Phoenix, not too far away, that they actually, their water has been cut off, and so they have to get water other places as well. So go back to that last article. Actually, go to the Hoover Dam article. I'm sorry. Go to the Hoover Dam article. Remember, in this first article, it says that since there's a drought, the water will affect hydroelectricity, right?
Uh-huh.
And so we was talking about Lake Mead, right? That's one of the main lakes that's in here in Arizona, in northwest Arizona, right?
Right.
And so Hoover Dam is actually a part of Lake Mead. So let's read that real quick.
Hoover Dam. Frequently asked questions and answers. Hydropower at Hoover Dam. Hoover Dam generates an average about 4 billion kilowatt hours of hydroelectric power each year for the use in Nevada, Arizona, and California, enough to serve 1.3 million people.
I'm pretty sure it's more than that, but keep going. Go down a little bit more. Go down.
Hey, that's heavy, because now with the lower water levels, that's going to start affecting the...
Go back up, Michael.
Affecting the electricity that you can use in your house as well.
Go down a little more. Go down. Go down. All right, right here. Read that.
How is the firm energy generated at Hoover Dam allocated?
So it's pretty much saying, how is the firm energy generated through the Hoover Dam allocated, right? So all the power that's coming from the Hoover Dam, right, their hydroelectricity, how is it dispersed, right, all that power, right? And so it says that 18.95% of it, of the power, is going towards Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, 23.37% Nevada, then Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. Only Southern California is 28.53, right? And so you can see all the cities, right, that the Hoover Dam is powering, right? And how much percentage, you know, the power is getting. So there's a go to this next article dealing with the Lake Mead drought, upi.com. Remember, the Hoover Dam is part of Lake Mead. And I know we're talking specifically right now in the Southwest, but there's things going on even in America, across the world, that there's a drought going on, right? So go ahead and read this for me.
Lake Mead water levels drop closer to Deadpool status. June 24, UPI. Water levels at Lake Mead dropped to historic lows this week with persistent drought exacerbated by climate change and increased water demands driving the reservoir closer to becoming a dead pool.
A dead pool is pretty much when the hydroelectricity from the Hoover Dam can't operate anymore because the water is so low, right? And so the water needs to be at a certain height for the power to be generated, right? So the pumps can work, right? So it's getting low today, right? And this is June 24th, freak.
The nation's largest reservoir on Thursday measured at 1,043.8 feet, its lowest level since the lake was filled in 1930s.
So
in
it
the
hasn't.
1930s.
Huh? Go ahead.
No, it's in the 1930s.
So it hasn't been that low since it was first filled.
What the hell is this?
Keep going. Go down.
The minimum elevation to generate power at Hoover Dam is 1,050 feet, according to the National Park Service. Below this level, the reservoir would be considered an inactive pool. However, Patty Aaron...
Go to the last sentence in that paragraph. She stated...
She stated the new threshold where the dam would no longer be able to produce power is at 950 feet. Mm-hmm. Should the water levels fall below 895 feet, the reservoir will become a dead pool, meaning water level will be too low to reach the lowest water outlet at Hoover Dam and flow downstream.
So it's actually real close. We like, I think it's around like 1100 where we supposedly at, where Lake Mead is
right.
At,
okay.
Supposedly. I think it's probably lower, right? But hey, get that last video I had sent y'all. I told y'all to start it. Michael, the last one, right? So these two dudes, they go out on Lake Mead, right? And they've been documenting pretty much how low the water is getting. And so I know this lake, yeah, this is from Sin City Outdoors YouTube, right? And so, but this lake, it covers hundreds and hundreds of acres of, it's a body of water, right? And so we're going to see how far it's going down. You know, you can see a boat, right, that sunk a long time ago. And so it's vertically up, so you can actually see how far the water is going down. So that's why they have it right here. So go ahead and play it.
So this is our favorite boat right here to film for these videos, just because it's the easiest to see how much the water level's changed using this boat right here, because it was sticking straight up. You can literally see how much the water level moves really easily.
All right, guys, I came out here like 31 days ago. Pause it.
So 31 days ago, go a few seconds back, just a few seconds back.
Wow. Really easily.
All right, guys, I came out
31 days ago, right? Go ahead, play it.
Came out here like 31 days ago and then 14.
Wait, pause it. That's 14 days ago. So that's a two-week span of how low the water is dropping. Keep going.
Showing you the progression of the water drop, and this is a boat. There it is.
Oh, wow. It's out of the water.
So that could be maybe, I don't know, about 6-7
yeah,
nah, feet,
right?
In just a one-month span or however, you know. And think about, just remember I said it's hundreds and hundreds of acres of bodies of water, right? And so if it's getting that low that quick in just a month, ain't no telling how low the water will go to where it will not work, right? And so, you know, the scientists, they've been talking about a famine that's going on and pretty much how there'll be power outages this summer, right? All across the U.S., right? Go to that next article I had. I had an article dealing with that, too. About...
Hey, see, with the power, if there's a shortages with the water, the power outages, right? Then you're going to figure out how you're going to store your food.
Exactly.
Now you can't keep your food cold.
Exactly.
Especially if you ain't prep, all that food you had in the fridge is gone, right? Especially if you don't have any kind of secondary means of energy, right? And so I don't think I have included the article in there, but there was pretty much an article that's going on pretty much on how the power outages will be really heavy this summer. And so there's a severity, especially in the West Coast of America, right? And then I think in the Central America, like Louisiana, Arkansas, is very high. So, yeah. I don't want that one. Let's switch it up. So, let's get the Food Farm National Security from Fox News. It should be back in that order. Yeah. Go ahead. And so, also, remember, y'all, just like he was saying, if the power's going out, the water's getting so low, think about how you will be prepping for this, right? So if anything happened tomorrow, right, how can you have so much water, you know, to drink, even cook your food or even bathe yourself? You have to think about that as well. Even like your energy, if the power goes out, how can you charge your phone or how can you cook the food, right?
Right.
Especially if your stove or something just electric.
And they said they need, what, like a gallon of water per person?
Mm-hmm. And I heard some articles say a gallon and a half,
right? Gallon and a half, right.
So, hey.
To be able to wash.
A gallon and a half, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So go ahead and read this.
All right. Food security is a national security, and a crisis is coming. I first drove the semi on my family's farm.
No, we're driving. I'm driving. Go down. Go back up. Scroll down. Scroll down some more. Just drop this one. Drop the article. Let's go to the other one. Wait. Right here. Where the food production facility fires. Let's go down a little bit more. Right here.
All right. Food production facility fires are also enormously disruptive events. A 2019 fire at the nation's second largest beef packing plant in Holcomb, Kansas, shuttered the facility for 4 months. At that time, the plant was responsible for 6% of total daily beef slaughter.
So Holcomb, Kansas, it was responsible for 6% of total daily beef slaughter. Just one plant, right? And they catch on fire. Read.
Whether 2022's incidents are anomalous or the result of something more sinister. The point is, we need more information.
So there's been, I don't know if y'all seen it, there's multiple articles about food plants catching on fire, explosions, or even like a lot of cattle dying in those plants, right? Go to the next article, right? There was recently 1,000 cows had died in Kansas, right?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It was cows and goats.
Cows and goats. Go ahead, read this article.
Thousands of cattle suddenly die in Kansas, officials say. What's to blame? Thousands of cattle died in Kansas in recent days due to sweltering heat and humidity, officials say. Estimates vary on the total number dead, as ranchers aren't required to report deaths. The State Department of Agriculture told McClatchy News the deaths are centered in southwest Kansas, where several weather factors lead to heat stress for cattle, a department spokesman said. Temperatures were in the 80s and low 90s until a sudden spike to 100 degrees on June 11th, followed by two more days of triple-digit heat, according to the Weather Channel.
Mm-hmm.
At least 2,000 animals were lost, Reuters reported.
So at least 2,000 of these cattle were lost, right? I don't know if it happened in a day or what, but right. But it says from 80 to 90s and then to 100s, right? I know I drove around Arizona, and, you know, it get hot, like 110, 120, right? And I'm seeing, like, hundreds of cows, right? Thousands of cows. Like, I think in Maricopa, right?
Right,
we went to the Officer Isha house, right? There's a bunch of cows, right? And I see them standing up doing just fine. But
that's great.
Ain't no telling what happened to these cattle. You know, it could have been heat. Who knows? But, you know, hey, it could have been playing, you know, from the, you know, upper people
right.
of America
hey.
Running, whatever.
But hey, them cows been in the sun for since the beginning of time.
Right.
What the hell happened there?
Right.
Supposedly, officer, they're supposed to be doing an autopsy to see if it was something aside from the heat.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see about that, what they're going to say. But yeah, this is, you know, there's a lot of articles going on, you know, about a lot of animals dying, a lot of plants, you know, catching on fire. So that's going to play a part in produce later on, especially in the months to come, right? You know, you can't go to the grocery store, get your T-bone steak or whatever
right.
you eat, you know what I'm saying, your beef. Now, you ain't going to be able to do that. So we got to make sure we're preparing for this. You going to say something?
No, I was just thinking, you got the drought, you got the electricity that's going to be affected,
mm-hmm.
and you got food plants burning down and cattle dying.
All right. Hey, go to the next article. We got diesel. Inflation
is going to get worse. Blame a lack of diesel.
So think about this, right? There's a lack of diesel, right? 18 wheels ain't gonna be running through city to city, right? And so, you know, those are the main people that that transport the food to all the grocery stores. And so if there's a lack of diesel, then guess what? The people that's running the trucks, they probably sometimes won't be able to afford it when the gas goes up, right? Right. Then they ain't going to be able to move the trucks, especially if the diesel run out completely. So what are you going to do then when all this is happening, right? Go ahead.
You got a crippled supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
It cost Carl Smith $999 to refill the 275-gallon fuel tank of his semi-trailer on Sunday for a run from Ohio to Wisconsin. And that's just because his fuel credit card cuts off at $1,000. Oh, okay. Cuts off at $1,000. In the nearly 40 years he's been driving, the price of diesel fuel has never been that high. That's the most it ever cost me to fill up. And I didn't even get all the way filled, he says. Mm. He adds a fuel surcharge at his rates, which will help him withstand the current high price of diesel. But he knows that all that means is he's passing on those diesel costs to the average American, for whom the price of goods hauled by truckers like him to the local grocery store keep growing.
So you think about it, right? So we know that if diesel gas keep going more and more, right, the trucks are going to have to charge more for delivering it, right? And so they're going to have to charge more to the companies that's buying that food. And so the people that's buying the food, those grocery stores, right, they're going to charge more to the consumers. And so if you're not prepping right now, if you prep right now, you can actually save money, right, in the long
run.
If you buy a can or two here and there every time you go to the grocery store, good. Stack it up, right? But in the future, the food is going to keep going up, so why not prepare anyway? You're benefiting yourself in the long run.
Right, and they saying some of these truckers, the routes that they have, some of them, the gas costs more than what they're actually getting paid to do that route or drop that load.
Dog, man. And you hear about the articles, too, about all the cargo ships being on the coast, right, not being able to get unloaded, right? That's going to play a part as well.
Hey, officer.
Yes, sir.
There was a TikTok that I saw of a trucker that said the ports are now actually empty. There's no more ships there. He said, you know, a few months ago, it was, you know, 200 to 300 ships.
Right, right.
Now, there's none.
Right. And I think they supposedly it was a low shortage of the people working there at the ports. So, hey, ain't no telling what's going on. But, hey, just look at the signs, you know, and we have to make sure that we prepare for it. You know, just don't look at the signs and think, don't, you know. I know sometimes, you know, we'll read an article and be like, oh, dang, okay. But we don't actually think about the future, like what's the cause and effect to,
right.
to that, right? Because I know a lot of times, you know, we see, like I said earlier, right, you see things that's going on in the world, but we don't actually think further ahead. How can this actually affect us, right? Because this is America, right? The number one country in the world, right?
We always going to have food.
Right, we comfortable, we straight. But, hey, the Most High already told us what's going to happen, right? Because famine is one of those, it was created for vengeance, right? Get the next article for me real quick. A lot of articles, man. Wait, like, give me the CDC one. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
CDC.
This is the CDC, right? And this is dealing with the water and what they recommend for you. Go down a little bit. Let's do the making water an emergency. Click on that one. Go ahead. Use safe water.
Making water safe in an emergency. Use safe water. After an emergency such as a water main break, hurricane, or flood, your tap water may not be available or safe to use. In these situations, it's important to know how to prevent illness from unsafe water.
So you got to think about it, too. Some areas, you know, like in the U.S., like us, right, water run out, you know, it is what it is, right? It might not be like a lot of water. And so a lot of times we think that the water, you know, if power go out, right, what's going to happen to those water treatment centers that's actually using the power, right? And that water is coming to the resident, right?
Right.
And then you have to use that water. You're using it, but that water can make you sick, right, especially if you drink out of it. And then you have to prepare for it. And in this article, it tells you you have to boil the water, right? And you see, you have to ask yourself, how are you going to actually boil the water, especially if you're in a house or apartment, right?
Right.
And no gas coming to your taps anymore.
Right, right, right.
And no electricity, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
After an emergency or disaster, if you know or suspect your water is unsafe, don't use that water to drink. Wash dishes, brush your teeth, wash and prepare food, wash your hands, make ice or make baby formula. Use bottled, boiled, or treated water for drinking, cooking, and personal hygiene. Follow recommendations from your state, local, or tribal health department for boiling or treating your water in your area.
All right, go back, Michael, real quick. Go back. So it's saying that you have to make sure you use the water for cooking, personal hygiene, and drinking, right? So hit the creating and storing emergency water supply, right? I remember, you know, when Bishop and the leadership, they first started talking about make sure you prepare, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I had bought a 40-pack of water, right? About like 3 cases of it, thinking I'm straight. That's it, right? But in reality, it's really not enough, right?
Right.
You know, a lot of us do it, right? We just buy like a few packs of water, thinking, "Oh, we straight. We gonna endure this, right?" But no.
3 days, everybody thirsty.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Come on, man.
Go ahead.
That's the first word where you're prepping for a disaster that you've never known anything about before.
Right. Hey, scroll down a little bit. How much energy? How much emergency water to store? Read that for me.
How much emergency water to store? Store at least 1 gallon of water per person per day for 3 days for drinking and sanitation.
Ooh-wee. 1 gallon of water per person for 3 days, right? So if all three of us was in the house, right, we have to have three gallons of water a day, right?
Right.
Three gallons times 7, that's 21 gallons of water.
Yep.
That's for 1 week.
Yep.
Think about how you're going to store it, like you were saying earlier, right?
Right.
And then let's say if it's a whole month, right? What is that? 84
mm-hmm.
gallons of water?
Right. And knowing the proper way to store it, because you can't just put water on the ground, because with the temperature changes, can destroy your water.
Exactly. So just think about that. 1 gallon of water a day, you got to drink it, you got to cook with it, especially if you got rice or beans. How you gonna cook it if you have no water?
Mm.
Then your personal hygiene, like you was bringing up earlier. We have to make sure that we actually prepare for it, because, hey, 84 gallons of water just between three people for a whole month. A lot of us, we ain't ready for
right.
1 month.
Right.
We are not ready for 1 month. Some of us probably not even ready for a week or 2 days. Right. It is what it is, right? So go ahead, keep reading.
Consider storing more water than this for hot climates, Arizona.
Right. We need a hot climate. Come on now. Read.
Pregnant women and persons who are sick.
Mm.
Observe the expiration dates for store-bought water. Replace non-store-bought water every 6 months. Store a bottle of unscented liquid household chlorine bleach. Labels should say it contains between 5% and 9% of sodium hypochlorite to disinfect your water. If necessary, and to use for general cleaning and sanitizing.
So like you were saying earlier, there's ways that you have to store water, right? And so if you have large bodies of water, you know, like say you have a 55-gallon water right there that you see in the picture below. Some people, you know, you have to actually put like a certain amount of bleach to it. It just depends on what you got going on, right? And so, you know, even if like the packs of water, right, you know, like the bottles of water that everyone usually drinks, right? If you had that in the sun all the time, all that plastic, you know, is going to end up getting the water and then algae, right? So there's things that we have to actually, we got to do our research pretty much on basically times we don't want to watch like videos with Edomites, you know, what they got going on. But Esau has been prepping for years.
Right.
Esau has been prepping for years. So go watch those YouTube videos on what they're doing as well, right?
And your equipment, like they have like the water tablets. They have like I got one that's a bag. A filter
right.
in another bag. I think I was listening to Captain Shamaya. He said, use your equipment.
You know how
to use it. Don't wait till the emergency actually happens and now you don't know what you're doing or it doesn't work right or it's broken. You know what I mean? So
right.
Don't wait till you ain't got no cell phone service to Google it.
Right.
Right. Hey, pull up that picture I had sent dealing with the water bottles. Hey, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people didn't even know this, you know, so read that for me.
How many 16.9-ounce bottles of water equal a gallon?
So those regular bottles that everyone usually buy in those little 40 packs or whatever you get from Walmart, right?
There are 7.57 bottles of water equal a gallon.
So you need pretty much around close to 8 bottles of water just for 1 gallon, right?
This means the water bottles containing 16.9 fluid ounces of water is precisely a 1 gallon. To calculate the value, divide 128 by 16.9. The answer would be 7.57 water bottles a gallon.
So if you have a 40-pack of bottles of water, right, that's only 5 gallons, right? So if you have one pack just for a whole family, that ain't going to last y'all two, 3 days, right?
That's like 3 gallons of water or something like that, 40 packs?
Exactly. That ain't going to last you a long time.
That's like 7 gallons.
It ain't going to last you a long time. Y'all need to make sure that get a 5 gallon buckets, right? You know, Google what you need to get. You know, certain bottles that you don't need to get, right? You need to Google it, you know, do some research. Watch YouTube videos about it because this is very serious, right?
And they can also get those kegs
right.
that distilleries use because they'll actually last a lot longer than what plastic would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even that too. Pull up, type in 55 gallon water jugs, right? I want to recommend this to people too, right? Especially if you have the means of storing it, especially if you have a garage or a big house, right? You know, get these 55-gallon water jugs, right? It's going to help y'all out especially a lot, you know, just for especially if you have a big family. It's going to help y'all out a lot. Make sure you do research, too, you know, on how to store it and all that. You know, just don't just go buy it and not know how to store it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure you're doing this. So if y'all can, I recommend y'all get this, you know, some after the Sabbath. But go ahead. Go back to the article. Hey, actually, go to the next tab. Next tab, though. This is what I wanted. Dealing with the blackouts over the U.S. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Blackouts could be coming to your state. Here's how to prepare. Here are 11 steps to take to prepare for the increased risk of blackouts this summer. A higher than normal risk of blackouts this year is in the forecast for much of North America, from the Midwest to the West Coast, and north to Saskatchewan. Yeah. That's thanks to warmer than normal temperatures driving up energy demands and lower than normal precipitation driving down hydroelectric supply.
Just scroll down to the map. All right, so as y'all can see, you know, here in Arizona, we're in an elevated risk, right? But in the high risk, you know, have Louisiana, Arkansas, a little bit of Tennessee, Illinois, whatever states are up there, Indianapolis. So if you're in these areas, you know, you definitely have to prepare. Even if you're in a gray area, you need to be make sure you're preparing, especially with your water and food, right? Because you can see the signs in the, you know, that the famine is coming, right? You know, leadership has been saying winter is coming, so make sure you prepare for it, right? I know you wanted to bring something up dealing with the hygiene and all that too.
Right. Let me get the one I sent you, Othaniel, first, because we were talking about not that one. Actually, we can start there. Go ahead, scroll down. This is I was just thinking about the effects that like hunger would have on the people. Keep going down. It should be. I think this is it right here. Go back up.
Starved brain.
The study observed the following symptoms as outcome of semi-starvation. So one of the things that was said was we need to prepare, but don't announce
exactly
everything that you're storing up. Because when people get hungry, if they don't have what they need, they will break into your house.
Right. Hey, let me get one scripture to back that up. What you just said. 1 Maccabees 9:23. Hey, so I'm from Arkansas, and I remember back then when I was in the congregation teaching to them, I was saying, if y'all ain't preparing, don't come to my house empty-handed, right? I ain't playing. Don't come to my house if you come empty-handed.
Right.
Like, a lot of people probably going to do that in Israel, right? Especially people in the congregation, I know there were people that aren't prepping, and then they're going to try to come to your house go to people that they know that's prepping, right? But give me this, 1 Maccabees 9:23.
This is the book of 1 Maccabees 9:23.
So this is during the Maccabean time, right?
Now, after the death of Judas, the wicked began to put forth their hands in all the coast of Israel. And there arose up all such as wrought iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
In those days also was there a very great famine.
So there was a big famine, right? A big famine in that time, read.
By reason whereof the country revolted.
By what? The country what?
Revolted.
The country what?
Revolted.
Uh-huh.
Went with them.
So, hey, just know that when stuff start hitting the fan, when stuff start getting bad, and there's the famine, like, full-fledged, and people ain't prepping, there's going to be revolt. There's going to be people going crazy trying to kill other people. Why? For food, medicine, and all that. Go ahead, soldier.
All right. So let's read this article real quick. The study.
Where is it? I got you.
All right.
The study observed the following symptoms as outcomes of semi-starvation. Physical, less energy, reduced heart muscle mass, lower heart rate and blood pressure, headaches, decreased hormone levels, sensitivity to noise and light, a feeling of being cold all the time, loss of strength and greater fatigue, and hair loss and dry skin.
So you got to think about this famine is going on, and people are watching their family members go through this, their kids go through this, right? Go ahead.
Emotional and cognitive changes, depression, anxiety, irritability, increased mood fluctuations, intense and negative emotional reactions,
right?
Decreased enthusiasm, reduced motivation, impaired concentration, problem solving and comprehension,
keep going.
Increased rigidity, obsessional thinking, and reduced alertness.
Right. So all of these things are going to be happening to the people, the attitude one. That's what I want.
Attitudes and behaviors related to food. Thinking about food all the time, eating very slowly or very fast, increased hunger, unusual food routines and rituals, binge eating, increased use of condiments for flavor.
Go ahead, social changes.
Social changes. Feeling more critical of others.
So that's feeling more critical. Looking at everybody.
Everybody's
like,
a suspect.
Is he hoarding food? Do he got food, right? Go ahead.
Withdrawn and isolated. Loss of sense of humor. Feelings of social inadequacy. Neglect of personal hygiene and strained relationships.
Right. So that's just something to keep in mind of the effects that it'll have on yourself and the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So definitely be prepared and don't announce everything that you have to everybody.
Exactly. You were also saying, too, that you have to make sure your personal hygiene, like your teeth, right?
Right.
Like you're talking about a cavity.
Right. I got this. It's like a kit where you can fix your cavities, right? It's like a little cement or whatever, but you can die from an infection very easily.
Just
right?
by your teeth.
Just from your teeth.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely think outside of the box and understand that all the resources that we may have, it might not be here mm-hmm. during a famine, right?
Because
people are not going to be going to work and doing all those things. So a lot of the things that you can fix right now, and try to get it fixed right now. Let me get that other one. I want to show you something that me and my mom was going to go ahead. Yes,
no, just to add to that teeth, an infection of the teeth can lead to infection of your heart
right.
also.
Mm. Let me get that the picture that I sent you. So my mom's an ER nurse, and I was talking to her about different things if we wasn't able to make it to the hospital, different infections and different things that how will we treat those, right? So we're putting together a list. It's not complete. I'm not in the medical field at all, so a lot of stuff, the stuff she put on the right, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but look at some of the things that's on here. It's what would you do for like an ear infection, an eye infection, tooth infections, skin infections, respiratory infections, yeast infections, urinary tract infections, sinus infections, right? GI tract infections. So these are things that normally we would just go to the hospital and get some antibiotics or whatever we would need.
Right.
And we'll be good. But if those resources are not there for us, then what are you going to do?
Exactly. I don't know, like even if you get like a cut, right, and then the cut just getting infected, right?
Right.
You could have had peroxide or even kind of Neosporin or anything,
right?
Like
right.
a small little first aid kit, you know. So you have to make sure you prepare for that. You know, a lot of people recommend like water, energy, food, and then your health, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like your water, of course, we went over that. Then food, you know, you got to do your research on that. Then energy, how are you going to cook the food? You know,
right.
if you're going to have propane or you're going to have a solar generator or anything
right,
like
right.
that, right? And then your health, like a first aid kit, something like that, right?
Right.
Did you have anything else?
Nah, I said on.
All right, give me Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41 and 25.
The book of Genesis, chapter 41, verse 25.
Read
it. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh.
So this was dealing with Joseph when he was in Egypt, right? And so Pharaoh had a dream or whatever, and so Joseph had interpreted that dream. So go ahead.
The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do.
Mm-hmm.
The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh.
Hey, man, so they had there was a 7-year famine in Egypt, right? So ain't no telling how long this famine going to be here in present time, but hey.
Right. In New Egypt.
Right. Hey, ain't no telling. They did 7 years, man.
7 years.
I don't even know all of us can do a week or two, man, for real.
Right.
So go ahead.
Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is
jump to verse 34. Yeah.
Verse 34. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years.
So Joseph told Pharaoh to take up the fifth part of the land, right? So that's 20%, right? So, you know, a lot of times, you know, we think that, you know, a can of food, you know, here and there, like a $1 can of food is too much, right? You don't have the money or anything like that, but get a small portion here and there every time you visit the grocery store, right? No, just prepare, you know, just even a little, right? It's better than nothing, right?
Right.
You have to make sure that you prepare, because even they knew this 20%, right? How did Joseph know 20% would be good for 7 years, right? Go ahead.
And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. Keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine.
Hey, bro, think about it too, man. How did they know how to prepare food so it can last 7 years as well, man?
Right.
Look how far we fell off, man, to where we don't even know how to store certain food for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Only maybe a few years here and there, but
we've been sucking the breast of the oppressor for so long.
Right. Give me Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. There was a lot more articles, too, I should hit, but make sure y'all definitely look and do your own research, too. It's very needed, for real.
This is the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 31. Real? The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord.
So you can prep for the day of battle, right? You know that battle is coming. You can just have your sword, you know, even now, like your guns, or your all the ammunition, everything, body armor, whatever, all these little contractions, whatever, night lights, whatever, or what's the binoculars, night vision, all that. But guess what? It says safety is of the Lord. So understand that, you know, we can prepare, which we recommend everyone do, but know that, you know, that's not what's going to save you. Safety is coming from the Most High, right?
Sure.
We got to make sure that we remember that, too, because, you know, a lot of times we know we want to prep and all that, but veer from the Most High, right, and his laws. So we have to make sure we stay continually on his laws, right? And so even if you're not, if you don't prep, right, get that World War Z clip, right? Even if you don't prep, this is going to be you trying to search for food and water, right? This is going to be you. Go ahead, play it.
Better medicine? I'll get us something to eat. I'll meet you back here.
Put a disclaimer up.
Better medicine? I'll get us something to eat. I'll meet you back here.
What do you mean?
Beautiful.
They outgrow the asses, supposedly. And this shit too is magic for my kid.
Thank you.
Mommy!
Karen! Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Karen!
Alright, you can stop it, right? So the cop, you know, he wasn't paying attention to what was going on, right? He's trying to make sure he's straight and his family, so.
Every man for themselves.
Right, every man for themselves. You got to make sure, this is going to happen, especially if you're not prepping, right? You don't want to be out in those streets if something happens, right? You don't want to be going out there then, you know, with your wife or kids, right? Then your wife or kids get raped, and then you struggling trying to find water or food, right? There's going to be a lot of things going on, people trying to take your car. A lot of stuff is going to happen, right? Like that scripture we had just read, right? Famine, after famine comes revolt, right? So we have to make sure that we prepare for that. Give me that next clip. Go to the next one. Next one. Let me see. No, go back. Do this one. Skip to this a little bit.
Stuff is really spooky. What does Ellis say? I'm going to tell you something, and you're not going to repeat it.
Skip to it a little bit more. Right there. So these people are waiting in line for antibiotics or medicine, right?
Cover your mouth, please.
Fuck off, baby.
You will only be able to give out 50 doses today.
What?
That's hard for 50. I love it. Hey, excuse me, there's a line here.
All right, you can drop that. Give me Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. So understand that, you know, a lot of these things, you know, just for us to know, get prepared for what's going to happen, right, in the future, right? And so we have to make sure we prepare our minds or prepare ourselves to where we're able to get the food and water, whatever we need, right? And so make sure y'all do y'all research, especially go to YouTube, just look at what these Edomites are doing with how they're prepping, right? Don't just go out and just buy everything, you know. Just know what you need to get, food and water. Those are the first steps that you really need to take to prep so you and your family can survive for a while, right?
Hey, also.
Yes, sir.
They also need to look at how to properly, like, equip their vehicles, too. If they need to leave, if you got to be on the go.
Right.
You won't be able to just hop in your car and just drive down the highway like it's all good.
Right.
You need to look at what you need to have in your car, too.
Right, definitely. You got to watch movies, you know that you can't even travel like on the main interstates, right? Because that's the main thing that a lot of civilians, a lot of people will be going. A lot of citizens, they're going to be traveling by the interstate, the main highways and roads or whatever.
Right. This one channel that I watch in particular, he's an ex-combat veteran, and he has a map of literally the whole Southwest off of the grid, and he knows exactly how to navigate it. So that's something that our people need to learn how to do, is also read a map, because we're not always going to have GPS or Atlas.
Right. Exactly. Like, I'm glad I got an ex-military right in front of me, so I'll praise the Most High. No, go ahead.
I just think we should do a class like that.
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increased strength.
So just know that the Most High will increase your strength, right? Because, you know, we think that, you know, when you watch all these prepping videos, what these Edomites are doing, you know, we years behind on what they're doing, right? We are years behind, but guess what? The Most High will provide for what, you know, he'll keep us safe, right? Give me John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14 and 27.
This is the book of John, chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
So the Most High is the one that provides the peace and safety for us. So always remember that when we go into things and we see signs, you know, of famine to come, you know, certain things that's going on in the world. Make sure you focus on the Most High, keeping His commandments, because that's who is our provider and our safety, right? So all praise to the Most High, Israel. Thank you for tuning in to the Power Hour. Make sure you tune in this Wednesday to the Power Hour Plus with Deacon Yahshua, right? So all praise to the Most High. Happy Sabbath, Israel. Shalom.
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 Oh, praises. I forgot to bring out having vitamins.
Oh, yeah. That was so much you had.
Vitamins and protein powder.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have, too. Mostly vitamins because you're not going to be able to necessarily eat healthy. Right, you probably eat some rice and some beans, you'll be missing a lot of things. So multivitamins definitely help out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about getting one of them 10-pound protein powders.
Yeah, I get a protein powder every month shipped to the house, and I get a multivitamin pack.
Okay.
And first I was doing Century Central, but then I found out that the gelatin was the important.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to send that back, and now I'm looking for another one right now to start back up.
Multivitamins?
Yeah, multivitamins.
They got that. Take the one that Kiki Yoshi uses. It's like JYM Gym by that brand. But